want to thank you to seek God with us today and remind you, you could print my outline out if you'd like to. We are meeting at Kalita at 9:30 on Sunday mornings, and we are practicing all the CDC guidelines as we do that. We're continuing our study in the book of Acts, and seeking the life and the spirit that they experienced. Today's message is for September 6th of 2020. It's entitled, Paul and Barnabas Return to Antioch in Syria, and we will be looking at Acts chapter 14, verses 24 to 28. We'll finish up Acts chapter 14 today. So point number one on my outline is the local church is a priority. And point number two, they gave God all the glory. Paul and Barnabas finished their first mission trip in our scripture today. Have you ever thought about going on to a mission trip sometime? The truth is, they change one's life. I've been on several, and I've never come back the same as what I was like when I left. I wonder how many miles Paul and Barnabas actually traveled. I wonder how they do it. How did they travel in those days? I was surprised when I read that one of the most popular ideas is that they each had their own horse. That makes a lot of sense. They were circuit riding preachers. Our scripture is about the conclusion of the first mission trip and then their report to the church. We hope to experience something like this year. The plan is for our missionaries, the Kumars, to return from their first mission trip to India, and we hope to host them for their update and their report on their experiences on their first mission trip. All that's to say that each mission trip has its own stories, and each mission trip has its own relationships, but all of them are patterned after our scripture today. All mission trips are patterned after this one. So I chose the NIV Bible translation today, and we're going to read Acts chapter 14, verses 24 to 28. After going through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attala. From Attala, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. That's the end of our reading of Acts. So, how long would you say is a long time? The best report is it's a year. And this is also the year that Paul will write his letter to the Galatians that we call the Book of Galatians. So in this year that he spends there, he writes the book that we call Galatians. So our outline, Paul and Barnabas return to Antioch in Syria. Point number one, the local church is a priority. The Holy Spirit makes it clear that the church is his priority. The Bible is very clear that each of us and our own personal relationship with the living and true God is our top priority. Then our family and our church family. How high of a priority is the local church? Not so many years ago, the church was the center of most believers' social life and their spiritual life both. In many cases, this has changed in the culture we live in today. So I wonder how high of a priority is your priority of the local church? On the return journey, Paul and Barnabas set apart elders in all the little groups of new believers. Their conviction was that Christianity is to be lived in a fellowship, not alone, not solitary, but in fellowship. From the beginning, it was the Holy Spirit's heart that the individual Christians are to be built into a Christian fellowship. Point A on my outline, they gathered the church together. They gathered the church together, and I underlined the word gathered. There were two words that popped out to me when I was reading this section of Scripture. One was grace, and the other was gathering. The church is to be a gathering together of people who have been saved and who walk by grace. We, His church, are to be His body. 1 Corinthians 12:27, Paul writes to the Corinthians, "You are the body of Christ. Each of you is to be a part of it." So you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of this body. Grace and gathering often in our day are much more emphasis is put on the gathering part of the grace and gathering. And honestly, a lot of this is because of the need of money. I wonder how many churches will survive the COVID shutdown when the cash flow diminished. Many churches have become more of a business than a place of prayer and a place of worship. And I wonder what happened to the grace. In these days, Paul and Barnabas and the first church, grace and gathering were the priorities. Gathering is still a priority, but I wonder what happened to the grace. Our study has made it clear that Paul and Barnabas' message was one of grace. Let us make it an honest effort to fill our fellowship with His grace. B on our outline, they preached the word. B, they preached the word, and I underlined word. The Holy Spirit's intent for the church is to be a place where the word of God is to be the center of each message to its people. Reading of the Bible, studying what it's saying to them then and to us now, seeking the Spirit's insight as all of this is done. Our scripture today makes it clear that helping someone experience God's grace is then followed up by returning and helping them grow and develop. Then after a personal revisit, Paul will let the Holy Spirit write these same people a letter, putting into words the truth that they need to grow and to help each other to do the same. The fact is, the written word is what is constant and transferable among all of us. And it was important not only for Paul to visit these people in person and then revisit them in person, but to also allow the Holy Spirit to write down the key truths that they will need. See on our outline, they shared their story. They shared their story, and I underlined the word shared. Church is a great place to share with others what God is doing in our lives. Why do we follow up our call to worship each Sunday with a time of testimony? Can you see why we do this? Can you see where we came up with the idea? I know that other churches don't do this, and I know that probably many larger churches could not do this, but the first church pattern did, and I think it's important that we do that as well. So on our outline, point number two is they gave God all the glory. So point number one was the local church as a priority, and point number two, they gave God all the glory. Paul and Barnabas never thought it was their strength that achieved anything. they spoke about how and what God had done with them. They thought of themselves only as fellow laborers with God. You have heard me say God wants to do that with us or do this with us, not me do it for him or you do it for him, but God wants to do it with us. Paul and Barnabas are an excellent illustration of that attitude. We begin to have the right attitude about Christian service when we work not for our own honor, but from the idea that we are tools in the hand of an awesome God. A on our outline, they reported all God had done. A, they reported all that God had done, and I underlined God. The Holy Spirit had called many new believers into the kingdom. The Holy Spirit had set apart a person, they called him an elder, and this is a new pattern in God's community of faith. We still use this term in our church documents today. Adeline Christian Camp calls Harold Watson and I its elders on a list of church boards. So if you read the list of board members of Adeline Christian Camp, Harold and I are classified as the two elders. The Holy Spirit had become the center of this new young Galatian Gentile church. The Holy Spirit was active in the center of this church. I often wonder how true this is today, that the Holy Spirit is the center of our churches. Paul and Barnabas told how they had been threatened with violence in most of the places they had visited. Paul will refer to his stoning as a hardship. A hardship. I'm not sure that if I was stoned, I would have not elaborated more on that than to just say, yeah, it was a hardship. The fact is that the Holy Spirit had returned Paul and Barnabas to the church where they had started to go on this work of God's. So they had safely returned to where they started this work. B on the outline. They are committed to the grace of God. They are committed to the grace of God. And I underlined the word grace. God's grace. This has been one of the most sought after truths in my new life in Christ. When I was very young in this new faith, I was introduced to a man named Bill Gillum. He taught things I had never heard in the Lutheran Church, and he had a handle on grace that was different. I had never heard anyone with a handle on grace like he had. Then I was introduced to Bob George and came into my life his ideas of classic Christianity, a book that he wrote, were filled with hope for a vibrant Christian life. So Bill Gillum was my first introduction to this grace, and then Bob George in his book Classic Christianity, and meeting Bob in Arizona was an amazing change. His concept of authentic Christianity is very different from what I had experienced in all of my church life. Authentic Christianity was very different. Then there were several years where there was a study of Steve McVeigh and his books, in-depth study of Grace Rules, and then his next book, Grace Walk. In them, he explained how Jesus' grace can consistently flow from one's life. Grace Rules and Grace Walked helped me understand concepts of grace that were new and vibrant. Today in my life, it is Paul David Tripp who helps me each morning from his book, New Mornings, New Mercies. he has a way of seeing God's grace in ways that I have never thought of. He can look at a scenario and write in eloquent form how God's grace is active in that. All that's just background data to say that I am completely fascinated by God's grace. Paul and Barnabas were too. My hope is that that would be an influence or something to inspire you to begin a search of this truth for yourself. I can give you a great list of books that would be very helpful in your study and due diligence of this grace of God. See on our outline, through them God opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Through them God opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And I underlined God. This is where we Gentiles were invited into God's kingdom. All of us, each one of us, can trace our spiritual life back to this moment, this point in time. The Message translation says this: finally, they made it to Attala. They caught a ship back to Antioch, where it had all started, launched by God's grace, and now safely home by God's grace. A good piece of work. Let's pray. Father in heaven, the letters that Paul wrote down of the facts of the events, Dr. Luke recording for us this chronological trip, the birthplace of all of our mission trips to every place in the world as we endeavor to spread your gospel to the ends of the earth. Lord Jesus, humbly we bow this morning in worship and adoration of you. Your life, your death and resurrection, purchasing for us the opportunity to be in harmony with your best friend, the Holy Spirit, today. As we study this book of Acts, would you bless our efforts with the outpouring of your Spirit in a new, fresh way? Would your Spirit help us understand this wonder of grace and this wonder of gathering together in a fellowship where believers can gather and not be judged or criticized by each other, but loved and nurtured in your amazing love and grace. So we thank you so much, and we pray in Jesus' sweet and perfect name. Amen.
Standing in your ruins feels a lot like the end. So used to losing, you're afraid to try again. Right now all you see are ashes where there was a flame. Truth is that you're not forgotten, 'cause grace knows your name.
God's not done.
Your broken heart and your wounds and your scars,
God's not done with you.
Even when you're lost and it's hard and you're falling apart,
God's not done with you.
It's not over, it's only begun. So don't hide, don't run, 'cause God's not done with you. There's a light you don't notice until you're standing in the dark. And there's a strength that's growing inside your shattered heart.
God's not done with you.
Even with your broken heart and your wounds and your scars,
God's not done with you.
Even when you're lost and it's hard and you're falling apart, it's not over, it's only begun. So don't hide, don't run, 'cause God's not done with you. You. He's got a plan, this is part.
when he started. He's got a plan, this is part of it. He's gonna finish when he started. He's not done. God's not done writing your story. No, he's not done. God's not done. God's not done with you.